Welcome to the Leadership Decoded podcast. Here, we provide you practical tips on how to lead at your very best at work and in your everyday life. I'm your host, Dr. Will Ramey, a former U.S. Army officer and combat veteran, a current leadership and team development workshop facilitator, and executive education adjunct professor. Today, we're taking on how to deal with difficult team members. Dealing with difficult team members is tough. Some people avoid it like it's the plague. But today, you're going to get clear and actionable tactics so that you can take on those difficult team members head on with confidence, avoid the overwhelm, and start turning your team around. No fluff, just pure, proven tactics. Let's dive in. It takes time and effort to create a high-performing team. Leadership abilities is one of the most important areas to focus on for team development. Dr. Will Ramey understands the impact that leadership can have on team performance. He's led a wide variety of teams in the U.S. Army and corporate companies, from being a first-line supervisor to a senior-level leader. His programs focus on experiential learning for immediate application, transformational growth through mindset and behavioral shifts, and sustainable change to drive long-term success. If you're tired of traditional learning and development programs and are ready for a hands-on learning experience that will increase knowledge and provide practical application directly to your work environment, reach out today. Visit drwilliamramey.com to find a solution for your team. Dr. William Ramey, positive mindset, proactive approach, proven research. Here's your fast forward button. I want you to head over to drwilliamramey.com and download your free 5-step guide to having difficult conversations with team members. This guide is going to help you turn that team around. It's going to provide you with frameworks. It's going to provide you with templates so you can have complete full conversations and stay on topic. And it's going to provide you with research-backed approaches to defusing situations, dealing with difficult team members so you can have a positive outcome and get your team back on track. And you'll get my free tried and tested templates to help ensure that you have that conversation, that you are prepared, you have your talking points, and you have your outcome before you step into the room to have that conversation. So as a team leader, you didn't sign up to be a babysitter, but sometimes at work, managing a team feels like running a daycare. We've got different people that are acting a certain way. They're resisting change, or maybe they avoid responsibility, or they want to do things how they want to do things without any explanation or bringing a team in and surrounding people and explaining why, or maybe they're cleaning up somebody else's mess and you're left with everything on your plate just kind of all mixed and swirled up into one big messy bite to try to take as a team leader. Now you think about that chaos. It's frustrating, it's exhausting, and if you don't handle it well, it's going to spiral out of control. Your credibility is going to go down, down, and down, and your team's productivity is going to follow shortly thereafter. Dealing with difficult team members is not a pleasant task, but with the right tools and the right approach and the right understanding, you can take it on like a pro and be there for your team. So let's get into some of these learning points here. Difficult behavior, it's not just annoying, it's very expensive, right? So you think about what's the cost for avoiding a difficult conversation? What's the cost for allowing a negative situation to fester, to loom, and then now the situation is causing ineffective communication? People are circling back and talking about whatever that situation may be. They're not focused on the task at hand. They're not focused on the work to be done. That's costing you time. It's costing you efficiency. It might be even costing you customers, depending on the type of work that you're in. Think about that. Problem team members hurt more than morale. They erode trust. They kill execution. They kill commitment and dedication. They reduce output. You know, and research has a wide swath of facts and figures that go with this. But trust me, the cost, depending on the size of your business, can be in the 6 or 7 figure mark over the course of a year. So research has also shown that allowing this to happen as a team leader hurts your reputation. It hurts your credibility as a leader, and it hurts your ability to potentially climb the career ladder, because it shows that you're avoiding a conversation, or you don't know how to handle a situation, or you can't take on the complex problems of leading people. And believe me, Most of the time with work, it's not a process problem, it's a people problem. And when you're that team leader and you're in that formal management leadership position, that's your problem. So being able to recognize what those common traps are is a first step. So let's get into the most difficult team members and the five types that you may come across at work. And this is based on a global leadership study. The most common issues you have: one, poor performers, people that just aren't able to hit their productivity numbers, make their sales calls, whatever that performance metric is, people are performing under it for some reason, all right? The next type of difficult team member, the ones that are uncooperative, the ones that don't want to work with each other, that just want to come in, be in their little bubble, not be bothered. Well, guess what? Work is becoming more and more team-centric. It's very rare that you have a person that is only reliant on themselves for the work that they do, and the work doesn't touch somebody else in the team, somebody else in the organization. The third type is resistance to change. You know that person. They only want to maintain the status quo. Well, it was good enough yesterday. 20 years ago, we tried something like that and it didn't work. I mean, you know exactly the type of person we're talking about, that resistance to change. The fourth one is the person that is ignoring feedback. So, you know, the person that's like bouncing a rubber ball off of a wall when you talk to them, you give them feedback, you give them coaching, and they just continue to ignore it and do things how they want to do, when they want to do, what they want to do without trying to make any attempt to get better or adapt. And the fifth type is the difficult team member that dodges accountability. And you know this person, they're playing the blame game all day long. Nothing's their fault. They're like Teflon. Things just slide right off of them. So take 30 seconds. Ask yourself, which of these patterns are you seeing at work? Because when you can name the pattern, you depersonalize it. And when you depersonalize it, then you can act objectively on the path forward. So the first step here is very easy. Understand the five typical types of difficult team members. Assess your area. Start to name the patterns that you see more common, or that you see with that one person that you've been avoid dealing with. Name that pattern of behavior. Now you can set an objective path forward to deal with it appropriately. And the next thing I want to give you is a framework for having a difficult conversation. And this one's very simple. SBI, it's situation, behavior, impact. I've used this method, this framework, for years. And what it allows you to do, allows you to step into a conversation being prepared with what you want to say, the order you want to say it in, and then open the door for the person sitting on the other side of the table or sitting in the other chair to enter into the conversation and provide you with perspective that you may not know, but it gives you a complete jumping off point for the conversation. For me, this is super helpful because when I was in junior leadership positions, I'd go in and I'd want to try to take on the conversation as best I could, and I would get derailed. I'd get off on a tangent, or I'd get stuck in the storytelling and I wouldn't get to the actual impact. And you know, the person on the other side just got a fuzzy, muddy message. The SBI model really helps you add clarity to the conversation and get to the facts and depersonalize the conversation so that, when I say depersonalize, so it doesn't feel like an attack on the person, you're addressing the performance or the behavior at hand. So this is your go-to model for giving clear, non-defensive feedback. Situation, describe the specific moment that you're there to talk about. Behavior. Say what you observed, not what you assumed, or not what you quote-unquote heard. Impact. Explain how it affected the team or the work that was being done. So for example, in Monday's meeting situation, when you interrupted Sarah three times, behavior, it shut down the conversation and slowed our progress. Impact. So that's your clear opener. Then you can get into the, can you help me understand why you did that? And then you take the conversation where it needs to go. But you have that clear, concise opener, fact-based, observation-based, impact to the team, and then you can step into the next phase. All right, next up, when it comes to dealing with difficult team members, there's 10 rules for tough conversations. All right. You try to stick to as many of these as possible. Let's give you 10 tips to help you give feedback more effectively. Number one, be timely. Don't let things fester. If you observe something happen, take them off stage and try to address it as close to the moment as humanly possible. Unless you have to coordinate with legal or HR or someone in that realm, address the conversation timely. You don't want a week, two or three days, or a month to pass when you try to address something from the past. Next, be open to their side. You don't know everything. You're not omnipotent. And most likely what you observed is probably happening because of something else going on in that person's life. So to be able to be open to their side, gain that perspective and take it in as you're working through having the conversation, dealing with that team member, and navigating those waters towards your positive, productive outcome. Next up, you want to keep it short and let them speak. That's why I love the SBI model. It gives you boom, boom, boom. Here's my 3 points. Now it's your turn. Let me invite you to the conversation. So it gets you from the setup to the meat of the conversation very, very quickly, very concisely. Next up, you want to be able to show empathy, not judgment. You're there to listen. Like I said, don't assume that you know every fact, every facet, every aspect of that conversation. Somebody may throw a curveball at you that you did not see coming, and you want to be able to have empathy, put yourself in that person's shoes, especially when they hit you with something that you weren't aware of. Also, avoid the compliment sandwich trap. When you give a positive feedback, deliver the tough message and the end with positive feedback. What does that person walk away with? I did something good. I did something not so good. I did something good. Oh, I'm good. They don't walk away with the message at hand. You've got to be able to deliver that message in a clear, concise moment and have it be the final thing. Now, that's not to say that, hey, you can't end on a positive note. We'll work through this together. We've got a good plan moving forward, but don't sandwich it with good feedback, difficult feedback, good feedback. Also, these types of conversations don't just criticize, praise when praise is earned. You can point out positive aspects to be able to help steer somebody to what right looks like. If they've done something right in the past, pull that into the conversation. Hey, I've saw, you did, this is what I observed. Here's the impact. Enter into the conversation and let them know, well, I've seen you do this the right way, or I've seen you do this in a positive way in the past. What's the difference between this situation? And bring that up, right, so that they know what right looks like. And here's a good standby. Over the course of time, use a 3-to-1 ratio of positive to negative. That does not mean in that conversation you have to give 3 positives before the 1. You've got to think of things holistically over time. Giving, make sure you are praising what right looks like all along the way, so that when you have that difficult conversation or you have that difficult moment with that team member, they know the impact. You're not just there to rain down the negative. They know that you're also there to support them in the positive. This will help those negative messages, those difficult conversations, go a lot better. You also want to practice what you'll say. Rehearse what you're going to say. Write the framework out. Write it out for the first few times. Know the outcome that you're trying to achieve. Write that out prior to, so that when you feel yourself getting off track, you can go right back to being on track, right? So it's not to say that you need to write yourself out a full script, but make sure you have enough written down in front of you to be able to pull you back so you can be on message. Again, focus on behavior, not personality. It's not personal, so to speak, right? Because people may not be able to change their personality, but you can focus on the behavior that you witnessed at that time. And lastly, most importantly, create a safe space for the conversation. Use your best judgment, right? And when you put barriers between people, that sends a message. When you have a round table and there's no barrier, that sends a message. When you're on stage, as in like in that person's work area, that sends a message. Is it supposed to be, should I pull you off stage in a place that's more quiet because the conversation may get more emotionally charged for that person? Only you will understand that, but you've got to consider the aspects of the conversation and how the message is going to land on that person's ear before you go into it. Set the condition, set the atmosphere, set the physical space up so that you feel safe and comfortable, that person feels safe and comfortable to move forward. So remember, feedback isn't about being nice or mean. It's about being clear and fair. Next up here, when feedback fails, protect the team. Difficult team members may or may not change. Your goal is to influence them to do the right thing, to do what right looks like, to perform at their best, to be a member of the team. At the end of the day, The action is on them. You as a team leader own the responsibility for having the conversation, for taking the right action, for having the right messaging, for documenting things. But at the end of the day, it's that team member's choice on whether they will change or not. So if repeated conversations haven't worked, if the behavior isn't improving, you need to escalate it to the next level, whether that be with your boss, to human resources, to the legal team, whatever that may be, because you've got to protect the rest of your team from what's happening. And that's probably the most difficult step to take, is knowing when to escalate. I struggled with this early in my career. I thought I could coach people to success. I thought I could coach people to high performance. I thought I could coach somebody out of being a difficult team member, because I had in the past. It had worked. But what I learned is that not everybody is ready to move out and make the change that they need and take the effort and put that effort into practice that they need to make that change. So you have to know when to move to the next step, which may be formal discipline or letting somebody go. Difficult behavior does not fix itself. So leaders who take action, you build better teams, you build better careers. Here's your next move. I've got a challenge for you. Pick one person on your team whose behavior has been hurting the team. Schedule a conversation this week with that person. Prepare for the conversation by using the situation behavior impact model. Have your outcome of the conversation that you'd like to see happen jotted down as well, and have that conversation. Don't wait for the next meltdown. Don't wait for the next opportunity. Lead early, lead clearly, and remember, being a strong leader doesn't mean avoiding conflict. It means taking it on calmly, consistently, and confidently from day one. You're not alone in this. Head over to drwilliamramey.com, download my free guide to having difficult conversations to pull your team back together. Download the worksheet and templates that I have there for you. It's like having a coach right there in your corner. I promise you, you'll be happy that you did. Thanks for tuning in to Leadership Decoded. If you enjoyed today's episode, give us a like, drop us a comment. Better yet, download and share this episode with your fellow leaders so that everyone has the opportunity to lead at their best. And if you want to connect to keep the conversation going, you can find me on LinkedIn at Dr. William Ramey, on Instagram at Leadership Decoded Pod, and on Instagram at WillRamey1. I'm your host, Dr. Will Ramey, and I'll see you the next time you press play.